Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All right, welcome to the Savage Nation. Let's see now. Obama's Arab winter has blown up in his face. The Middle East is on fire. The Islamists have taken power. Let us see. American troops are being shot in the back by Obama's friends in the Afghan military. When I say Obama's friends, because it's Obama's war. After all, during the Iraq war, the vermin in the left kept saying, oh, we shouldn't be in Iraq. Where should we be? We should be in Afghanistan. Well, Obama sent 30,000 new troops to Afghanistan. We're in Afghanistan. American troops are being shot in the back because of the dolts inside the U.S. Pentagon. So let's see. U.S. troops shot in the back. Arab Spring blows up in Obama's face. Economy in the toilet. Shall I go down the list? And what is the media talking about? Something Romney said at a fundraiser in June. I've never seen anything quite like this. The loss of self-respect within the U.S. media is at an all-time high. I'm not going to talk about the 47% remark. What more do you need to say? It's true. I've said more than that myself. If you were on welfare or you were receiving government assistance, who would you vote for? Of course you'd vote for the communist in chief. You wouldn't vote for a man who even has a putative belief in the free market. Would you vote for even a moderate free marketeer? Romney is not a right-winger. Romney is not even an old-time conservative. Romney is a middle-of-the-road, country club, Republican on the order of Nelson Rockefeller. He's a Rockefeller-type Republican. We've called them check pants Republicans. We've called them Rockefeller Republicans. We've called them country club Republicans. That's who he is. But even that is too shocking to the vermin on the left. You want to talk about taxes? Let's talk about Rachel Maddow's boss, Jeffrey Immelt, and her ownership, the company that owns her, that pays her $1 million-plus salary. That is General Electric. Ask Rachel and her gang at The Nation, which is MSNBC, more snotty nationhood by creeps or by communists. MSNBC, all communism all day long, owned by a holding company called General Electric, which pays no income taxes. So now you understand why they continuously rip Romney and have no credibility as even TV commentators. They are set up specifically so they don't attack Obama. The reason they don't attack Obama is a deal was made between the Obama administration and General Electric. We'll let you get away with paying no taxes. You make sure your marionettes like Sharpton and Maddow, they're about the same level of education and class, Sharpton and Maddow, continue to bash Romney, continue to bash America, continue to bash the family, continue to bash white people, continue to bash the military, continue to bash the flag, continue to bash police, and we'll make sure you don't pay any taxes. How's that? Does that work for you, Mr. Immelt? Good deal. Done. Don't you understand how this works? We don't have an independent media. We have a wholly owned subsidiary of the United States government. There was a very brilliant speech on this in 1998. That was entitled Beware the Government Media Complex, and it was given at the Commonwealth Club by yours truly, Michael Savage. It's probably the most important speech I ever gave. Yes, it's derivative. It was derived from Eisenhower's Beware the Government Military Complex, but today the government media complex is far more dangerous, far more deadly, far more demonic than the government, than the military-industrial complex. So what would you like to talk about? Would you like to talk about Obama's failures? The greatest foreign policy disaster in American history, in modern American history. There's never been a bigger disaster. The entire Middle East is on fire. Susan Rice lied her way through television on Sunday. I was shocked to watch her not being challenged by people left, right, and center. She was bald-faced lying, saying that it was spontaneous, a few small groups, when the Libyans themselves were saying it was Al-Qaeda and carefully planned. I don't understand how you don't see this. Let's move on. How about China getting ready to fight Japan? Does that trouble you more than what Mitt Romney said in June? Top China general orders troops to prepare for military combat with Japan. How'd that work out for Obama? How's Obama's foreign policy with regard to China, his good friend in China and Japan? How's that working out? The Washington Free Beacon, China's most powerful military leader, in an unusual, shall I read the rest of that, or you're not interested in China fighting Japan? No, that doesn't bother you either. All you're interested in is what Mitt Romney said. How about this? Gulf states see Obama's hand in rise of Muslim Brotherhood. Gulf Arab states have detected a U.S. role in the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood in the region. Anything else? No. Top general orders troops to prepare for military combat with Japan. That is China. Chinese warships deploying to waters near disputed islands. And anti-Japan protests throughout the country turned violent. Protests against the Japanese governments. Shall I go on, or that's not of any interest to you? We could give you some of the most important news specialized in by the Murdoch crowd, such as which slut has fallen down on which street in Los Angeles. Stay tuned. We'll come back to that in a moment. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. In a few minutes, I'm going to have to take a break because at exactly 20 minutes after the hour, I have my good friend Donald Trump on the show. We'll see what he has to say about all of these topics right here on the Savage Nation. In the interim, if you care to join the conversation, what exactly does Obama mean by, quote, I have Israel's back? Does he mean with a knife behind his back? Is that what he means by I have Israel's back? Number two, top, China general orders troops to prepare for military combat with Japan. That's of no interest to people at General Electric because they do too much business with China to care about Japan. Report, Taliban may accept talks with the United States in a break with Al-Qaeda. Report, U.S. sharing intelligence with goal of ousting Syria's Assad, sharing intelligence with the Islamists. In guess which country? Turkey. Did you hear this? It goes on and on. I've never seen anything like this. Ambassador Rice should have been forced to resign. And other topics, that's all. If you're not interested in any of these topics, you're brain dead. And you're set only for NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, or MSNBC. If you are interested in these topics and you're lucky enough to clear the call screen of Doug and you get on the air after Donald Trump, you'll reach more people in 30 seconds than you've met your entire life. Think about that. If you get on the show through the call screener and you get to talk to me, Michael Savage, you'll reach more people with your editorial commentary than you have met in your entire life. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. The Middle East is burning. We have the greatest foreign policy disaster in American history. And the obsequious media, and that's to be polite about it, the obsequious media, I would call it the own media, focuses instead on words stated by Romney, not the president, by the way, a man who would be president, several months ago. Do you remember Obama's obsequious speeches in Cairo and Istanbul in the spring of 2009? Do you remember what he said to the Arab world, how he appealed to the Arab world, to the politicians and the so-called intellectuals in the Arab Muslim world, how he came up with lies about Arab enlightenment while Europe was in the Dark Ages? There was no enlightenment in the Arab world at that time. How about the contemporary Arab world where there is an abuse of women, the killing of homosexuals, the death of intellectualism, the lessening and cheapening of human life, barbaric legal codes, marriage of children, economic practices at every level in contemporary Muslim society, not mentioned by Obama. Instead, he flattered them. He made up important Islamic contributions to the American world that we live in. No one in the world understands what he was doing at the time. There was no Islamic contribution to the American ethos. The fact of the matter is, Obama made a disgrace of himself and cheapened America in the Muslim world. And it's come home to roost. They basically burned our flag because they're saying you're weak and you're laughable. They killed our ambassador. They allegedly sodomized our ambassador. instead of focusing on these animals and focusing on what they did to us, to our reputation, to our honor, to our national dignity and our ambassador, all acts of war. Instead, the obsequious media, that is the owned media, talks about something Romney said 3 months ago about those who don't pay taxes are the natural audience for Obama. And so without an independent watchdog agency out there called the media, the Fourth Estate, so-called, we have what is the equivalent of the ex-Soviet Union, where there was a government media complex with a government newspaper called Izvestia or Pravda. There was a choice. You could take one choice or the other of a government newspaper. Just as today you have a choice between the drugged Tom Brokaw or the undrugged Tom Brokaw, or others now in the cable world. You have your choice between one lapdog of the Obama administration or another. And if anyone goes off course, like Clint Eastwood did, a man who they revered the day before, a man who was held up as an American icon, which he is now being called senile by the vermin on the left. People who are not fit to shine Clint Eastwood's shoes are now calling him senile because he dared make a mockery of King Obama. Let's go for another opinion on these issues, if there is a different opinion. Donald Trump. On the Savage Nation, Donald Trump, welcome to the program. It's been a long time. Welcome. How are you?
It has been a long time, and I heard what you said about a very good friend of mine, Clint, and he's a great guy. He's as smart as they come, and they really brutalized him for no reason.
Do you know that they're calling him senile today, the left-wing press, Donald?
Terrible. It's terrible. Well, they're also blaming Mitt Romney for Egypt. That's one of the all-time greats. They've actually taken it, and they're blaming Mitt Romney, who has had nothing to do with Egypt. They're blaming him for the fall of Egypt.
How did they figure that out?
Well, that one is, to me, the all-time. No, I thought Clint... Actually, Clint was interesting, and he made some very good points, and I thought it was a whole interesting deal, and the next day he was just absolutely, to use your name, savaged.
Yeah, he was he was savaged in a negative.
he was.
So, Donald, what's going to be here? We have a candidate who we both... like Mitt Romney. We know he's a very decent man. We know he's a far more decent man than what we have in the White House. At least I will say that.
Well,
he's a good man. Donald, is he too good for the job?
Well, you can't say anybody's too good. It's the most important job in the world. The world is falling apart. We have a president who's the worst foreign policy president in history. You know, they used to say, oh, who could beat him on foreign policy? Anybody, because you look at what happened with all of his speeches in Egypt and everywhere. They're all blowing up and they all hate us. And he's a disaster on foreign policy. Mitt Romney is a very good man. He's a very smart man. I would like to see him be much tougher on Obama. They're all afraid to be tough on Obama. They don't want to insult him. They don't want to be called a racist, because any time you say anything bad about Obama, they call you a racist. And, you know, they don't want to be called a racist. And it's a terrible situation that's happening. But he has to be very smart and very, very tough. And if he's not, he's not going to win.
Well, here's the thing, Donald. The last time you and I spoke, 6 months ago, I think it was an email, I told you that Romney would not come on the Savage Nation. You were shocked, and it's still true. Why does he go to every left-wing news outlet in the country, Today, the Today Show? You name the left-wing pressure group, he goes to them. I represent millions of independent voters. You know and I know something's wrong with his campaign team. Isn't that true, Donald?
Well, you know, they've been very nice to me, and I do respect them. And I must tell you, I told them that I think you should go on your show and go on very quickly. You have a great audience. You have a big audience and a wonderful audience. And they're largely his people. I mean, these are people that really will support him. And I don't understand it. I know they're busy, but I'm busy, and we're all busy. But your show is great, and I just don't understand why he doesn't go on your show.
Look, it's not going to change my life. It won't change my life one iota. It wouldn't put a dollar in my pocket. But it will change his life.
Well, you get a lot.
You know, he and Obama are fighting over really a few 100,000 voters here and there. How could they not figure out that they need to come to the conservative radio shows in order to get these voters who are sitting on the fence to say, okay, I'll go with Romney, even though I'm not so sure about him? What's wrong with them? You know, I heard from somebody high up, Donald, that his campaign advisor voted for Obama in 08. Can you confirm that?
Well, I can't confirm it, no, but I am a little surprised to hear that. But I am more surprised to hear that he hasn't been on your show. I'm very surprised to hear that.
Well, let's move it past me. You have a Twitter site. It's Twitter at Donald Trump?
Right. At Real Donald Trump, it's called. At Real Donald Trump, right. And we've got almost 1,500,000 people. Within a few months, we'll have 2 million people. And it's blossoming. And I think the reason is because I say it like it is. I tell the truth.
You want to get a talk radio show. You don't have enough to do.
No, I don't want to compete against you. Who can compete against you, Michael?
Yeah, right.
Who
so
wants
Donald,
to compete against you?
Not even I want to compete against me.
That's true. So, I can imagine.
So, Donald, when does the Mar-a-Lago open? Has it opened yet, your
it
great club down
in... soon. I hope you're going to be there. It opens on November 1st, and it will be another great season. We have a great club in Palm Beach called the Mar-a-Lago Club, and you've seen it, and it's an amazing place.
It opens I love
on November 1st, Michael.
I'm going to be down there for Thanksgiving, possibly for Christmas. I'm trying... By the way, Donald, this is interesting as a side note, something positive. I met with a gentleman who works to save elephants in Africa by fighting. He actually hires groups that go out with guns and kill poachers who are killing the elephants, right?
Right.
And we're going to try and do a fundraiser for them down in the at Mar-a-Lago.
That's
Wouldn't
great.
That be a wonderful thing?
I think it's great. I actually think it's great.
Yeah. So are we going to win this election, Donald? Let's go the other way. Let's go negative. If Obama wins again, what's going to happen to this country? I mean, the taxes will go through the roof. The most productive members of society are going to freak out. They're going to try and offshore their money as fast as they can. It would be a disaster for the nation.
If he wins the election, it is going to be a very, very rough period of time, and it will be very, very hard for this country to ever recover.
In plain English. In Trump English, it'll be difficult to recover. Hey, Donald, do you think the two of us know reality because we grew up where the air and the water was good near Union Turnpike?
Right. That's right. Union Turnpike. The air was good. That's right. Union Turnpike. You know very well.
It must have been Cunningham Park. Right. It was the Cunningham Park air that did it. Donald Trump, thanks for being with us. Hope to see you in a short time at Mar-a-Lago. Thank you very much. Remember the Twitter address. I will read it again at the end of the break. If you care to comment on any of the news topics, 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Chinese general says get ready for combat with Japan. Homeland Security bought 200 million more rounds of hollow point ammunition. The Middle East is on fire. And the marionettes in the media are talking about something Romney said about the 47% 3 months ago. It's shocking to believe that we have lost our media. And that's why I say it's very depressing. I mean, I know people who are very, very productive, very creative. They've built businesses in their life. They're all running, and they're all running not scared, but depressed. Every one of them is depressed from what this clown Obama has done to this country. This clown Obama, this college teacher, foisted upon us by a complicit media and a trillion dollars from unknown sources, has wrecked the country, wrecked the nation, wrecked us militarily, economically, morally, spiritually, you name it. And they still put him up on a pedestal like he's God. This shows you that liberalism is truly a mental disorder, that no matter liberal. Now you say, how can you say a thing like that? Don't you understand what a knee-jerk liberal is? Don't you want, these an old phrase from the 50s or 60s. She's a knee-jerk liberal. What do you mean by a knee-jerk liberal? Knee-jerk liberal. It is sort of Pavlovian. It's a Pavlovian thing. And so therefore he can do no wrong. That's a very dangerous place to place a leader in that position. Surely every man is fallible, even Obama. Would you not acknowledge, even if you're a worshiper of Obama, that every man is fallible, that no man is perfect? Would you acknowledge that, please? And so therefore, if every man is fallible and no man is perfect, would you acknowledge for a moment that even your God, Obama, could be imperfect and he could make mistakes? And so if you acknowledge for a moment that he could make mistakes and he's not perfect, is it possible that his Middle East policy was a mistake in catering, pandering, sucking up to the Islamists that blew up in his face? Is that not, for you, evidence that the man is possibly wrong on other issues as well? No. The answer is no. He can do no wrong. And if you actually don't believe that the Arab Spring blew up in his face and became what I predicted it would be, the Arab Winter, if you don't actually see that, then you should, you by nature are no different than the worshipers in North Korea of Kim Jong-il, dear leader. And if you want to live in a communist society, you're well on the way to doing so. So let's move on. I mean, what more can I say to you? Everybody I know who's created anything in this country, and I don't know a lot of people I actually talk to on a day-to-day basis. I'm basically a loner. I've told you that. I don't socialize. It's me and a dog, and it's only I'm with the dog only when I want to socialize. Other than that, it's very difficult. I just sit here watching the world go around. I can't believe what I'm seeing. I don't care, D or R. You got to understand something. If we had a Democrat who loved America, if we had a Democrat who loved America the way I grew up loving America, it wouldn't matter to me what party his affiliation was. So don't think it's DR for me. It's either America or someone who hates America. Never forget what Michelle Obama said after her husband was elected. For the first time in my life, I finally, or whatever, love America, or America's wonderful. The man, she grew up hating America with all a silver spoon put in her hand. Every advancement possible was given to her. She had an elitist upbringing. And Obama, you're saying he suffered? What do you think, he came from the hood? Do you think Obama suffered and came from the hood? Then you know nothing. He had grandparents who slaved for him. They put him through a private high school. I didn't go to a private high school. I went to Jamaica High School in Queens because we didn't have the money to send me to a private school, and my father wouldn't have sent me there anyway. He used to say to me that, I'm not sending you to a private school. It spoils kids. He was right. I don't know anyone who ever went to a private school who came out good. They all came out either drug addicted or twisted in some way or another. The ones I knew. It doesn't mean some didn't. But by and large, I went to a city college. And I was told right off the bat, you're going to have to do it on your own. I did it on my own. Nobody helped me. No, no man is an island. I'm going to say no one helped me. Of course, there's always people along the way. But nobody gave me the money. Obama had the skids greased for him, Punahou High School. Then he had money to go to Occidental College. Then he had money from somewhere no one knows where to go, to Columbia University. Then he had money to go to Harvard. No one to this day knows what he wrote to have warranted him getting into Harvard. Although when you look at Harvard, that's not a big advancement. You know, I have an article on my website about cheating at Harvard. Going back to the 1800s, they were reporting that cheating was kind of commonplace at Harvard. It was acceptable. Now you understand why anyone you ever know who went to Harvard is not that smart. Almost everybody who ever goes to Harvard actually walks around thinking they're better than everybody. They usually don't amount to anything. Truthfully, the people I know who achieved the most in my life did not only not go to Harvard, they went to city colleges and state universities if they went to college at all. Did you know that? So don't assume you have to go to Harvard to be something. Some go there and make something of their lives, but most don't. They come out with a sense of entitlement that the world owes them a living, and they often are very disappointed themselves. But I'm getting off the track. It's a very depressing time right now to see a man as incompetent as this man. Let's put aside the C word, that's communism. Let's put aside all of that rhetoric. He is the most incompetent president in modern American history. He is the most divisive president in modern American history. And the only reason he has 47 or 46% of the popular vote in polls is because this is largely the dependent class that is attached to him. Now, you could include in that class of people who vote for him those who work for government agencies. That's right. Are you telling me there's a federal worker in this country who would not vote for Obama? I'd like to meet that person. So every federal employee will vote for Obama. That doesn't mean they're on welfare. Who else? What is the actual data behind Romney's comments? It's not that they're particularly brilliant. I've used the same comments myself for about a year and a half now. They're making such a big deal for this. All he said is that 47% of Americans would almost automatically vote for President Obama because they were dependent on the government. In part because they received government benefits and paid no federal income taxes. That's pretty clear. Now, let's look at the actual data if you'd like to. Okay? How about government benefits? Well, According to the Census Bureau, 49% of Americans in the second quarter of 2011 lived in a household where at least one member received a government benefit. That could include Social Security. But that's up 30% from the 1980s and up 44% in the third quarter of 2008, by the way. What about food stamps? Do you know how many people are now on food stamps? Do you know that this administration has an office in Mexico encouraging people to apply for food stamps? It's very important for you to understand that. The country cannot survive when you have tax breaks for General Electric and the eight other corporations that I spell out in trickle-down tyranny. There are eight to nine corporations that pay no U.S. income taxes at all owing to tax loopholes. So if you want fairness, start with General Electric and work your way around those corporations. Half of U.S. households pay no federal income tax. They are exempted because of basic provisions such as limitations on tax for low-income earners. Okay. The other half benefit from targeted breaks, such as assistance for the working poor, children in moderate-income families. Even seniors may benefit from some of these targeted breaks. So there are many tax breaks. There are all sorts of tax breaks. Now, what about you if you own a family business or a family farm and you have children who are struggling and you want to leave that business or that family farm to one of your children because it's yours to give them? You worked for it your entire life, right? Do you know what this criminal government takes from you? Let's say you worked your whole life for your farm and you want to give it to your son who wants to continue in the tradition of your family. Do you realize that he may not even be able to pay the taxes because the gangsters and the government steal half the money? They make, let's say the farm is worth $1 million and you give your son that farm, that $1 million farm. The gangsters and the federal government want $500,000 cash to permit you to give your son the farm that you worked for all your life. Now, how in the world can a country survive that has such onerous taxes? It can't. That's why it's broken apart. And so there are many things that could be done. You can start by forcing illegal aliens to pay for their medical care at the point of using it in emergency rooms. Does that strike you as odd? Let Romney say that tomorrow, see what happens. Ooh, fascist Romney says Hispanics must pay for health care in hospitals. And? Duh. Okay, no good. What else can't he say? What can he say? Get up in the morning and have indigestion and burp, and a slight amount of air comes out of his mouth, and the vermin in the media run out and say, Romney burped this morning, and we know that that burp was racist. So here we are. We're living in a partisan division. I don't know how many people haven't made up their mind yet who they're going to vote for, truthfully. I don't know how many people haven't made up their mind in this country yet. Have you made up your mind who you're going to vote for? Is there anyone out there listening to this show, for example? I don't know. Let's interesting. Is there anyone out there, Doug, who's not made up their mind? What are you waiting to hear? Let's see. The Middle East blew up. China and Japan are about to go to war. Israel and Iran are about to go to war. The country is bankrupt, but you can't make up your mind to take a chance on a man who might do better? You're still waiting to see what Obama might do? What rabbit can he pull out of his hat now? Well, whatever. Let's go to the callers. Let's see what they have to say. Let's see what they have to say. Got good callers out there. New York, John, WOR, go ahead, please.
Oh, Michael, you're my hero, Mike. God bless you. Mike, Israel is committing national suicide by not attacking Iran as soon as possible. That's my personal feeling. There's a small window.
Absolutely. Every day they wait is a day less for their survival.
Yeah, you're so right, Mike.
I mean, what are they waiting for? You know, I woke up the other night in the middle of the night in a sweat, and I said, we could wake up and look at the internet and see Tel Aviv no longer exists. You want to hear what I intuitively felt the other day? You're not going to like to hear this because this is only one man's paranoid nightmare. You want to hear it? Iran is going to preemptively attack Israel. Anyone out there hear what I just said? Is John gone?
Yes.
John, you're still there? Let me explain what I just said to you. For 2 years, I've been hearing about Israel threatening to attack Iran. Oh, if they make one more centrifuge, you wait and see. You know, it's like the guy in the street who says he's getting pushed around, and he's saying, you push me one more time, and then you're going to see what I'm going to do. So Iran pushes Israel again, calls him a little Jew, calls him derogatory names, says I'm going to kill you and your wife and children, pushes Israel around. Israel, you push me one more time, you see what I'm going to do. Right now, Israel is a coward laying in the gutter, terrified, waiting for someone to come along and save it. It's frightening to see this. And I'm going to tell you something. One thing I know about bullies, and Iran is a bully, Iran is just liable to smote Israel before Israel strikes them. And that would be a disaster, but it could happen. Iran could preemptively strike Israel with 5,000 rockets, non-nuclear rockets, and decimate that nation with Israel doing nothing but running to King Obama and saying, may we hit them back. You want to take that on as a question? What do you think is the likelihood that Iran will strike Israel first? How's that? Did anyone ever raise that in the media? We're all sitting here, any day Israel's going to strike Iran. Any day evil Israel's going to strike Iran. Any day macho right-wing Netanyahu is going to strike peace-loving Ahmadinejad. That's all you see from the media. Well, what if Iran said, you know what? We're not going to wait for them to strike us. We're going to launch 5,000 intermediate rockets on them, which we got from our friends in China, and we're going to launch them before they even know it hit them. Tell me what you think might happen. You can't even think about it. You can't even comprehend what that would do to the world. You can't. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's a crazy world, and no one has the answer to any of it, truthfully. But let's look at the nightmare scenario. For years now, Israel's been saying, oh, another centrifuge, we're going to strike Iran. They're only days away, months away, years away. No one can keep up with it anymore. It's like the boy who cried wolf about Iran. And everyone's saying, you know what, do it already. Either strike Iran or shut up, stop telling us. Stop dragging us into a war. We don't want to go to war with Iran, by the way. Let me tell you another little secret. America is war weary. We lost Iraq. We're losing Afghanistan. It was all for nothing. Trillions of dollars. It bankrupted the country like it bankrupted the Soviet Union. Afghanistan broke the Soviet Union. It's breaking America. We don't want another war. Israel's going to be on its own. But I came up with a nightmare scenario the other night, and it got me sick. What if Iran were to preemptively strike Israel, I thought. What if they launched 5,000 intermediary rockets at Israel? What would Israel's response be? Do you think Israel would, at that point, launch a nuclear weapon at Iran? The answer is no. Never. Never. And so you can play it out any way you want. I mean, I'm not in the war games business, but I am a novelist on the side, as you may know. And it's a scenario that's nightmarish. But truthfully, if Iran did so, and they're liable to do it, seeing that Israel's so weak and America stabbed it in the back. Who does Israel have as an ally right now? Nobody. So is Israel capable of defending itself? I don't know. I'm not a military expert. Apparently, they need long-range refueling planes, which they don't have. The U.S. would have to supply it. And now we see that we have carrier groups in the Arabian Sea or in the Strait of Hormuz, wherever they may be, including a carrier I was on a few years ago. I forget the name of it. It was a Nimitz-class carrier. It's astounding. So we have two carrier groups in the Arabian Sea. Each carrier has more airplanes on it than the entire Iranian Air Force. Think about that one. So let's say there's 100 airplanes, 100 fighter jets on it. I don't know how many there are. It's more than the entire Iranian Air Force is on any one of our aircraft carriers. But you say, well, okay, then Iran will be afraid. Don't be so sure. There's another nightmare scenario called a silkworm missile. The most advanced silkworm missile could probably sink one of our ships. You say, can't happen? You could wake up to seeing the equivalent of our dreadnoughts going to the bottom of the sea. That could happen as well. You know, history has a strange way of repeating itself. And although my expertise is not in history, I'm an amateur student of history. Remember the Russian fleet? You may not know this. The Russians had the largest navy in the world. I think it was pre-World War I. They were called dreadnoughts. The largest battleships in the world were Russian battleships. And they went to war with Japan, who they thought they could wipe off the map and wipe up Japan quickly. The Japanese, using maneuvers that the Russians weren't prepared for, sank many of the Russian battleships. It was one of the greatest turnabouts in naval warfare. And I'm reminded of that battle because I'm frightened that we have become the Russian battleships of the 1910 period, in that we seem to have a top-heavy navy. We have a command structure that's always looking over its shoulder, a command structure that's interested in making certain that it's complying with employment regulations rather than actual military regulations, a command structure interested in making certain that minorities and women are advanced, whether or not they're qualified. Yeah, I can go down the list. I don't have to spell it out for you. So I'm prepared for any nightmare. I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't be shocked to see Iran does a preemptive strike against Israel. I wouldn't be shocked if I woke up tomorrow morning and I saw that we lost, I don't know, a couple of frigates, a destroyer, a billion-dollar destroyer, God forbid, an aircraft carrier. It could happen. It could happen when you have men at the top afraid of their own shadow. I'm almost apoplectic. I can hardly speak when I start talking about our military under this administration. But it didn't start. It didn't start with him. The timidity didn't start with Obama. You know that I read the other day that the United States Air Force Academy has replaced men as the commander of the U.S. Air Force Academy. The training program was turned over to a woman because of complaints about sexual harassment. Did you hear what I just said to you? Now, it's not to say there aren't good women pilots. Are you telling me that it's rational to make the top gun in military pilot training a woman for political reasons? Do you have any idea what this is? This is under Obama. The world is upside down. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, nothing makes sense. Everything the man has done is for the sake of a radical agenda, not for the sake of either the economy, the military, etc. I can't go down the litany, okay? So if you want to talk about any of these topics, I'd rather talk about them than the 47% remark by Romney, because he was 100% right. There's no question that those on food stamps are not going to vote for him.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Well, what can I say in this hour that I haven't said in the first hour? It's a very depressing landscape out there. When you have the most incompetent foreign policy by a modern American president that has obviously gone up in smoke, and instead of criticizing him and trying to goad him into pulling himself together and doing the right thing with regard to America's national and international interests, the media, the watchdog media that has become the lapdog media, instead focuses on a statement that Romney made a few months ago. It's unbelievable to me. Do you know, for example, do you know that the Al-Qaeda-led Salafi Bedouin bands just this week attacked three Egyptian bases along a 70-kilometer front 3 days after they overran the U.S.-led multinational force base in northern Sinai? Do you know that they used local school children as human shields? And do you know that they shot down an Egyptian helicopter? So in other words, the evil Egyptian military that Obama hates so much, the evil Egyptian military that the American left so feared under Mubarak, is about to be overrun by the Islamists put into power by Obama. And Washington, what is it doing? Head in the sand, lying. The worst foreign policy disaster in American history, and you're not reading about it in your local newspaper. So you say, well, what does it matter to me? All that matters to me is that I have a chicken in every pot. What does a chicken in every pot mean? A chicken in every pot means food stamps, welfare, grotesque Medicare benefits, grotesque Social Security benefits, grotesque vacations at gambling casinos, grotesque and vulgar vacations on cruise ships to nowhere so you can gamble and gain 25 pounds paid for by the government with various and sundry benefits. That's what you want? That's what you worked for your whole life? I have no words for any of this. I can't say any more than I've already said. I've talked about it till there's nothing left to say. I've written about it till there's nothing left to write. And it goes on. It goes on. And Romney, what do we have on our side? Romney, a moderate Republican, a Rockefeller Republican, a country club Republican, a check pants Republican. And even that's too conservative for the communists in the media, because there's no other way to describe them. They're in a fervor, almost a fever pitch, rather, of insanity with what they want for this nation. Do they actually want you to give up your house to illegal aliens? What is it that the radical left really wants? Well, you don't have to look any farther than what they've stated that what they want in the position papers of the so-called Occupy movement. The Occupy movement is basically a band of malcontents, discontents, unemployables. In other words, the riffraff, the flotsam and jetsam of society that is jealous of anything that anyone has in the country. They want you to give it to them. And they want the government to reappropriate from those of us who worked for it and give it to them. How you can't see this is beyond me. But then again, how you can't see what's going on right in front of your eyes is not beyond me. So let's go to my shocking statement of the last hour. I woke up in the middle of the night the other night, and I had a nightmare that with Israel's posturing and screaming for 3 years, they're about to strike Iran. Any minute they're going to hit Iran. Any second we need the permission. There'll be a strike and this and hey, go Israel, go. And so far, nothing. So I said, you know, Ahmadinejad being the Hitler of our time and saying he wants to wipe the Jews off the planet starting with Israel, what is to prevent Ahmadinejad from doing what Hitler did and attacking Israel first? What is to stop Ahmadinejad from launching 5,000 intermediary range rockets on Israel, raining them down like hellfire and brimstone from the sky itself upon Israel? And what would Israel do? Tell me what Israel would do if 5,000 rockets appeared overhead. Nothing. They'd run to the UN and ask for an agreement? I don't understand what's going on in this world if Israel, which is allegedly a nuclear power, sits there waiting to lose a city or two. And Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time, is scheduled to start his week-long visit to New York on Friday, September 22nd. This would be the equivalent of Adolf Hitler coming to New York in 1939. Why he is not arrested on arrival, I will never understand. The man has said he wants to commit genocide. There are laws in the so-called United Nations against genocide. And here we have a man, Ahmadinejad, who has said repeatedly he intends to commit genocide. He dreams of committing genocide. He will commit genocide the minute he has an opportunity to do so. This is what's going on in your world. Why? Because we have the most divisive, weakest president in American history. That's all. Nothing more to be said. Anyone who knows the world knows that these words are true. Now, with regard to the domestic election, who listening to this show hasn't made up his mind yet? Nobody. Everyone knows who they're voting for. If you're receiving government benefits one way or the other, or you're a pensioner, you're voting for the communist in chief because you have a higher chance of holding on to your pension or your benefits under the communist dictatorship that is emerging in America than you would under a moderate, business-oriented Republican. In plain English, that's all. And anyone who has a business, anyone who pays too much in taxes, which is everyone as far as I'm concerned, who earns a real living in this country, anyone making more than $50,000 a year who pays real taxes is paying too much in taxes, and they know it. They look at their paycheck. Look at the young kids. They come out of college, and they're all communists in college. Yeah, bring it all down, appropriate. Then they go out and they get a job for whatever the first salary is, $35,000 a year if they're lucky. And they look at their paycheck and they're shocked at how many tabs, FICA, SHMICA, DICA, HICA, LICA, the taxes they can't believe they actually have to pay. And they say it's unfair. The minute that the college kid has to pay a tax, suddenly it's like he's shocked. She's shocked. She can't believe it. One less pair of Manolo shoes at the end of the year, and that's too much for her. She can't believe that she has to pay that much in taxes. Well, it's unfair. Saying, well, what do you mean it's unfair? You're making a living now. Well, let the rich pay for it. Well, you're one of the rich, honey. You just got a job paying $35,000 a year. According to Obama, you're one of the rich. Anyone who actually works for a living and doesn't receive a food stamp is now part of the targeted class by the Obama administration. All right, so look, I've covered the waterfront. I can talk about movies if you'd like. Let's take your calls instead. Ed in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
It's a privilege to speak with you, Michael. My feelings is very simply are, Israel shouldn't wait 5 minutes, 5 days, or 5 weeks. They should attack now. The world doesn't care about Israel. Israel's a speck on the planet Earth. There shouldn't be any reason for them not to.
Let's start with this. Let's start with this. You know that no matter what Israel does, they're wrong. Just as whatever Romney says, he's wrong. You understand that, don't you? That if Israel went up in smoke, God forbid, that Iran struck it and every Jew died, you know what the UN would say? Well, it's a terrible thing, but they had it coming because they were so bellicose.
Well, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Maybe the United States should wake up because, God forbid, that could happen here any day. And we'll all wake up to something.
Right. Hillary Clinton and the leftists in the Obama administration have flooded America with illegal aliens, many of whom hate the country, including many from the Middle East who are waiting for their time to strike. There's no question there are sleeper cells. Your own government tells us that. Your own government tells you Hezbollah exists here in America. The geniuses let them in. So if they know where they are, why don't they throw them out? In other words, the CIA and the FBI know that Hezbollah is here. Why don't they attack them now? Why don't they round them up, detain them, and deport them? See, that's the question of the day. They keep telling us that they have sleeper cells here. Well, where are they? What do you mean? I'm supposed to know? They must know where they are if they tell us they're here. What's their $1 trillion budget for in Department of Homeland Security? To look at people who don't like abortion? What's the use of talking about it? New York, John, you're on the Savage Nation from WOR Radio. Go ahead, please.
I'll tell you why Israel will not be attacked. When there was 800 tanks lined up on the border, Israel started fueling its nuclear missiles, and it backed the Egyptians off. And they will do the same thing. If it gets push comes to shove, they'll fuel their nukes, and it'll get back to them, and they won't touch the country.
But where do you have your information that they fueled their nukes?
This is history, Michael. I know you're a little weak in it, and God.
Whoa. So wait, I know you're an expert in it. I think you're a distinguished professor of history at the subway, right? The IRT stop on 72nd Street, I believe, on a soapbox. You speak at Soapbox U.
Michael, I'm not looking to fight with you because...
You came up with a statement, Israel fueled its nukes. Let's start with that statement. When did Israel fuel its nukes?
In 67, when the Egyptians were getting ready to attack with 800 tanks.
Okay, when you say fuel its nukes, what does that mean?
That means they opened the silos and they started fueling the rockets that had nuclear warheads, Michael.
So you believe Israel still has nuclear silos for its weapons?
No, I don't believe they have that anymore, but I'm just showing you what I'm saying.
All right, let's not split hairs. So you think that the nuclear deterrent will prevent Iran from actually striking Israel?
Absolutely.
Okay, then let's take this scenario. Iran says Israel's a paper tiger. They're afraid to do anything without Obama's approval. Obama has told Iran they'll never give Israeli approval. So Iran launches 5,000 intermediary non-nuclear rockets on Israel. Do you think Israel would counter-strike with nukes?
Absolutely.
I don't. I absolutely don't. So that's where we differ. Admittedly, I'm not at your level. I don't go to Subway University in history, but I do the best I can. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Come on. You want to lighten it up a bit? I mean, it's impossible to lighten it up a bit. This administration has screwed everything up from top to bottom, and the only reason most people don't know it is because they'd rather not know it. They'd rather, you know, focus on sports. You open up the New York Post, for example, a Murdoch-owned website. Every day it's brainwashing about the sex. Every day the same, like a sex-mad society. As though sex has never been performed before on the earth. As though human sexuality was just invented by Rupert Murdoch. Is there no limit to how much people can ask and inquire and be curious about another low-life, white trash Hollywood starlet in a bathing suit? It seems to me there's no limit to the number of white trash chicks that they get pictures of and put on the Post. I've never seen anything like it. It's what they. I try to read the news because it's more or less on the conservative side. They have some wonderful columnists and opinion writers. But I've never seen anything quite like it. It's like your mind is beaten up. Every day, sex, 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 sex. Every minute, that's all they jam down your throat. The world is burning. The economy is a wreck. We have a debt that every dollar that the government spends, 50% of it is interest on debt. We're like a banana republic. We're like Argentina in the 1970s, only there's no America to forgive our loans, is there? There's no America to forgive our loans. Remember back in the 70s, every few months or every year, a few years, I remember as a youngster working, I'd read that another South American nation demanded that for debt forgiveness from the U.S., that we held their notes, and they said, we can't pay it, so we're not going to pay it. And the U.S. said, okay. Well, guess what? Some of those economies are thriving. Brazil is thriving. Soros, billions of dollars in benefits for the oil company in Brazil that he's invested in from the Obama administration. You know, Obama is vulnerable on so many levels, and Romney doesn't utter a word about it. Let's start with energy. Keystone XL pipeline. Have you heard Romney say one word about it in the last 3 months? I don't understand it. Why? Why doesn't he say a word about it? Mr. President, why did you kill the XL the pipeline from Canada? Period. Make it simple. Don't call it XL. Mr. Obama, why did you kill the oil pipeline from Canada when we are so dependent upon the Arabs? That could change the course of the election. Not a word. He's always playing catch-up. So we, the people sitting out here, just scratch our heads. We don't know who's advising this Romney guy. Forget that he won't come on the show. Wouldn't affect my life or my ratings one way or the other. What do you think is going to change my fortunes to have another candidate, another politician on the show? It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me one way or the other. It would save his campaign. And the reason is not that many of you listening to the show are going to vote for Obama. I don't believe you will. But many of you listening to the show are not going to vote at all. That's the truth. That's the truth. It's the ugly, horrible reality. Many conservatives are so disgusted with Romney's weakness and Romney's unwillingness to attack this evil empire of the Obama administration that they're not going to vote for him. Came on the show, he might have a chance of pulling a couple hundred thousand voters over to his side who would say, you know what, he's not bad. Like, I had Trump on the show in the last hour. Donald comes on the show, he speaks up, speaks clearly, makes statements, doesn't mince words. He gives you a sense that someone's in charge, knows what he's talking about. You wish to God he was running for the office. He could mop the floor with Obama. Can you imagine if Trump had run, he could have mopped the floor with Obama by now. He would win by a 20-point margin. People would say, you know what? Even though I'm not a Republican, I like him. He's just a rich guy. He knows business. I'm going to take a chance on him. And he would know how to defend himself. Instead, we have milquetoast. We have milquetoast. That's all. We want rye bread. We don't want milquetoast. We want pumpernickel. We don't want milquetoast. We want pumpernickel running for office. Mr. Pumpernickel. Not Mr. Milquetoast. Yep, I see what's going on in the U.S. Navy. Well, do we need some comic relief? Play a Nancy Pelosi. She's always good for a joke. Play anything she has said. Anything
for
Pelosi.
Make no mistake. President Obama is, of course, he's a great leader. He has great vision for our country. He knows the issues. He has a plan.
Stop. I've had my laugh. I've had all I can take for the day. Make no mistake, Mr. Obama's a great leader. Where? A great leader of what? Of community organizers? A great leader of who? I'm sorry. He's a great leader in Libya. I'm sorry. And Egypt. I missed that.
Seven.
He also is such a respectful person, and I've never seen when I worked with presidents, to a greater or lesser degree, certainly to a greater degree to President Bush and President Obama, and this president has listened, spent time, respects the opinions of the Republicans to an extent that I think he has more patience.
I needed another laugh. I'm not feeling well. Thank you very much. Every once in a while, we have to bring out the shock clown so that I can relieve some from some tension. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So you have a terrorist attack on the embassy. An ambassador is raped and killed. And we're already on to what Romney said in June. That's the extent of our media now. Now, you're not going to believe this. What Pelosi, I don't know how this woman does this. She actually says it was a protest in the Middle East. A protest, hijacking the revolution, she said. It's unbelievable to me. These people are running the country. Anyway, here we are. Okay, let me tell you what I did this weekend. It's already that time of day. I had a gentleman out from the International Fund for Animal Welfare, because as you know, I have a weakness for elephants and gorillas, okay? I'm going to tell you the story for a reason. It's very political. The elephant herds are being decimated in Africa to an extent you don't want to hear about, because there's so many problems in the human world, no one wants to hear about it. But the African tribes are so desperate for money, and the market in China amongst the emerging bourgeoisie, the middle class, the show-offs, who want a rhino horn, an elephant tusk for their new condo somewhere in Shanghai, a little ground-up powder to give them an erection. They're killing the elephants at an alarming rate where they're going to disappear in our lifetime. But he told me a story. I'm going to give them a grant. I said, I'll give you a grant if you can guarantee me that you have an anti-poaching squad that I'm funding. He said, well, we do, and it's ex-French special forces who teach the local guys how to handle an AK-47, how to defend. I saw the manuals, how to get into hand-to-hand combat with the poachers. It's shocking what's going on in Africa. But here's the top story. I couldn't sleep now for 3 days. The Ugandan military sent an army helicopter, a fully armed army helicopter, over a herd of elephants. Turn the radio off if you're weak-minded, because you're going to cry. And they killed 300 elephants. Bull elephants, female elephants, baby elephants. They slaughtered them all with machine guns in an army in a helicopter from Uganda. And then they went down and they chopped the tusks off the poor creatures and took them back so the vermin in China can enjoy them on their mantles or get an erection. This is the world you're living in. This is the world you're living in. Instead of the United Nations stopping a thing like this, they come to New York just to enjoy the ladies of the night and the nightclubs. They're worthless. They do nothing. They do nothing for anybody on the planet. And so I'm funding as best as I can. I have a little plaque on a wall in one of my places that he told me the small grant I gave him years ago they used to move a herd. I believe it was out of Uganda into a sanctuary. I personally helped save through them, blah, blah, blah. So what can you do in the world? You could say it's futile. Eventually, they're all going to be killed off, but you can't stop trying. If it wasn't for Teddy Roosevelt, we wouldn't have one national park in the United States of America. So you have to try in your own way. And whatever it may be on a local level, whether it's giving a dollar to, I wouldn't give the homeless a dime, by the way. Don't confuse the homeless with a charity. Most of them snort it right up their noses or drink it away. You're not doing them any favors. It's like giving sugar to a diabetic. They get plenty of money, the homeless people, from the cities. They're bankrupting the cities with their reach. Okay, San Francisco spends, at last I checked, at least $200 million a year in direct expenditures on the so-called homeless bums in the streets. Where's the money gone? It's proliferated the number of bums in the streets of San Francisco. So whether it's giving a $5 bill to the Salvation Army or whatever, you should give money to some of these legitimate organizations. Here's a story about a billionaire who's trying to go broke. Chuck Feeney, it's from Forbes. The billionaire who's trying to go broke, it's not me. And he's 81 years old, and he's given away $170 million in grants to a college in a university in Ireland, University of Limerick. $170 million to the one university. and he's from New Jersey, and he's done more for Ireland than anyone since St. Patrick, and he rides a train, no bodyguards like Lindsay Lohan. He's not like, let's say, one of the stars of conservative radio who needs four ex-special forces bodyguards in order to go to the toilet. He doesn't have two bodyguards the way a radio host who thinks he's important. He has no bodyguards. He has a $7.5 billion fortune derived from selling cognac, perfume, and cigarettes in his duty-free shops. His foundation is the Atlantic Philanthropies. He's funneled $6.2 billion into education, science, name it. You can read it yourself. Few people on earth have given away more, and no one at his wealth level has ever given their fortune away so completely during their lifetime. The remaining $1.3 billion of his fortune will be spent by 2016, and the foundation will be closed by 2020. And this man, Feeney, is working overtime to die broke. Can you believe this? So here's a man who made all of this money. He has a net worth now of only $2 million. $2 million. When he was worth $7.5 billion, he's given it away to nations, to this, to that. And why is he doing this? He's obsessive with it. And many of the charities he gave money to had no idea where the piles of money were coming from. And those that did were sworn to secrecy. He said, I had to convince the board of trustees that it was on the level, that there was nothing disreputable and this wasn't mafia money. it's a very interesting and a beautiful story, by the way. And this is what happens in a free market society. He's a great man. He served in the Air Force during the Korean War before going to the Cornell School of Hotel Administration, the Hotel Administration, no less, on the GI Bill. And after graduation in 1956, Mr. Feeney traveled to France to take more college classes and later got involved in the business of following the U.S. Navy's Atlantic Fleet, selling tax-free booze to sailors. Now, let's stop right there. If Obama was president at that time, that would have been the end of his fortune. One of the policy wonks from Harvard would have said, you can't sell tax-free booze to sailors. That's not a good business to be in. We don't want it. Booze for sailors is not good. You're not paying taxes. That's not good. You're not paying enough to the government. That's no good. So he would have been out of business before he got started. But because America was much freer in the 50s, he continued. And he had great competition, by the way. But he got ahead by using his military experience to talk his way onto ships and gathering intelligence on the fleet's next destination by talking to who? Local prostitutes. And he got into the business. And they started to create duty-free shops. By 1964, the duty-free shoppers had 200 employees in 27 countries. But that was a little business. And I'm not going to read you the rest of the story. It's worth reading. It's from Forbes. And shows how the man who's given almost his $5.7 billion fortune, how to overcome one obstacle after another to build his business. You see, Mr. Obama, you didn't build his business. The government didn't build his business. You stood in his way, Mr. Obama, as you're standing in the way of every entrepreneur in the United States of America today who not only loathes you but fears you. And when an entrepreneurial class not only fears but loathes its government, they go elsewhere with their enterprise and their genius. They go overseas with their money, Mr. Obama. Now, that's something that you didn't learn at Harvard. That's something you weren't taught at Punahou. That's something you didn't learn on the streets of Chicago as a community organizer, Mr. Obama. It's a part of your education that is sorely missed here in the United States of America, where the free market built the very nation that you inherited as king. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. Look, I can go back from this billionaire who's given his fortune away, who lives very simply, doesn't even own a car. He continues to make money, but he gives it away. The money is a way of him counting his success, and he loves helping, you know, big, big projects. Imagine this. He says he doesn't have a yacht, doesn't have a car. He has a rubber Casio watch because it keeps time like a Rolex. This is a great story. This is a beautiful story. He flew coach. He flies coach. He has no jet. He flew a few million miles in coach because first class didn't get him to his destination any faster. you got to love this story. I mean, does a guy like this exist? This is a great story. It's from Forbes. It's on michaelsavage.com. And, you know, who is like this anymore? I don't know. Are there people like that? Everybody. He doesn't put his name on plaques on universities. And he does that so he can get other rich people who are more egocentric than he is to invest in that university where they can put their name on the plaque. Feeney was happy with simple things. He had grown up in a humble, hardworking house and watched his parents constantly help others. In an oft-told story, each morning his mother, Madeline, a nurse, would jump in the car and conveniently drive by a disabled neighbor as he walked to the bus just to give him a ride. The tradition of charity was not extended to business rivals. I'm a competitive type of person, whether it's playing a game of basketball or playing business games. I don't dislike money, but there's only so much money you can use. The money was how Feeney kept score. And while it no longer flowed into his pocket, he helped rake in as much as possible as an active board member throughout the 1990s, blah, blah, blah. It's an interesting story because you don't see this kind of thing. We live in a society that's driven basically by, you know, whatever it is, greed, self-aggrandizement, however. Although he admits briefly owning a used Jaguar when he lived in Hong Kong, he said, no yacht. I guess the answer to that is I get seasick easy. All right, let's go back to the election. That's all you're interested in. D-R-R-D-D-R-R. Let's hear an R. Let me hear an E. Let me hear a P. Let me hear a U. Let me hear a B. Let me hear an L. Let me hear an I. Give me a C. Give me an A. Give me an N. Is that what you want me to do? I'm not going to do this. Anyone listening to the show have not made up their mind yet who they're going to vote for? No one's responded to my ingenious, frightful question of what happens if Iran preemptively strikes Israel. Because Israel has so long cried wolf, and Iran has been arming itself to the teeth. We're looking at the nuke program, but at the same time, they've been arming themselves to the teeth with medium-range missiles from China and from Russia. And they could strike Israel, God forbid, with 5,000 or God knows how many thousands of rockets in a barrage that would cause, you know, major damage. I have to say that. What does that mean? And what would Israel do? Israel would not use a nuclear weapon on Iran. Absolutely would never use a nuclear weapon unless they were nuked first. So this is the problem. See, here is the existential problem for Israel. Israel cannot and will not use a nuclear weapon preemptively. Israel, however, would use a nuclear weapon as a second strike, a retaliatory strike. But at that point, it's a moot point. Because if that ever happened, it would almost bring about the apocalypse that the maniacs with the turbans want. You see, the maniacs with the turbans who get up there screaming death to America, death to Satan, death to Israel, they actually believe that peace will reign on earth after a great apocalypse occurs on the planet. The return of some one of their fantasies will return to earth through the second coming, whatever. And at that point, there'll be peace on earth. And these are the people who were supported by MSNBC. These are the people who the nation seems to not be able to get enough of. I'll never understand why communists who are Jewish on MSNBC or in the nation hate Israel and love the Iranians. I can't figure that one out. I don't understand that. But then again, whatever. So here we are. It's already the year 2012. Things are going on in the world. We have the most incompetently aggressive and incompetently divisive president in history, in American history, who has already taken us off the path that America was originally founded upon to such a degree that with any other president, he would have been impeached by now. But he is so intelligent. He is surrounded by such intelligent people. His brain, whatever his name is, I forget his name all the time. What's Obama's brain? Axelrod is so smart that he makes Karl Rove look like a hot dog salesman at Yankee Stadium. Axelrod is about 50 times smarter than Karl Rove. Axelrod is so keenly intelligent. I mean, you watch Karl Rove, I don't even know why he's still in the public arena. He did such a terrible job with Bush. And here he is continuously speaking on when I see him on Fox, I wince. He is possibly more unattractive than Newt Gingrich, which is saying an awful lot. Newt Gingrich, another prize. Do you know that the campaign, the primary, if Romney should lose, it will be because of Sweater and Fatso. They did so much damage to Romney, particularly Fatso. Gingrich, by the way, should be driven out of the Republican Party for life for what he did to Romney. You know the millions of dollars that he spent doing opposition research on Romney during the primaries has been used by Obama. Everything they dug up about Romney, all false, of course. The strategy, all of the strategy that was created by the evil men who worked for Gingrich is being used to this day by Obama and Axelrod. And so if Romney loses, you can thank Fatso. When I saw him and his wife, Callista, whatever her name is, get up at the Republican convention, I thought I was watching the Manchurian candidate. It was the most frightening thing I had seen in all the campaigns, was her looking up at him like he was the president already, with that Stepford Wifeian hair, and the Stepford Wifeian face, and the Stepford Wifeian outfit, and the Stepford Wifeian persona, looking up like, there's the great man. He speaks then like in a canon style. The great man pontificates, and wifey looks on. The Stepford wife looks up at the great man. She's on a lower chair than him. Then the great man speaks again, and then the Stepford wife looks up at him again. She was already playing the part of the first lady. In their warped minds, he actually thinks he's going to run in 2016. And she actually, in her mind, thinks she's going to be a first lady one day. I'm talking about Gingrich and Callista. When they appeared, I knew it was hopeless for the Republicans that they would even put him on the stage. Why did they do that? I don't understand it. I can't comprehend who is running the Romney campaign. How idiotic can a man be to permit his worst enemy on a platform with him? Anyway, it's one man's opinion. I'm more concerned with the elephants than with the party that is represented by the elephant. I'm more concerned about saving the elephants than I am in saving the party represented by the elephant symbol. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. Very soon I'm going to put that up on my website, the elephant campaign I'm going to be involved in. I hope you help join us, and I'm going to try and do a fundraiser. We got to do something to save these poor noble creatures. God, you know, I love my dog, right? I'm a dog lover. But when you see a herd of elephants, I told you the story, the Ugandan Air Force sent a helicopter with animals, with machine guns, subhumans with machine guns, and they slaughtered a herd of 300 or 400 elephants, bull elephants, female elephants, baby elephants, gunned down, looking up at the sky and screaming. I want you to go to sleep. I want you to hear the screams of the elephants in your heart tonight. I want you to see the poor creatures who survived through their wits and against all odds, all these centuries, all these eons, rather, looking up as man unleashes a fusillade of lead upon them and kills them. And they see their babies killed in front of their eyes. And the bull elephant looks up and lets out a roar as his family lay bleeding next to him. And then he goes down and bleeds to death. And then these subhumans come out of the helicopters with machetes. They cut the tusks off the elephants so that degenerates in China can put them on their mantelpiece and show off to their friend how rich they are. Instead of buying Viagra, buy some potion made by some psychotic in a tube, a rhino horn, an elephant horn. This is the world you live in. And you want peace or salvation? Now you understand why the tombstone says RIP. Because, Johnson, you're not getting it in this world. You're never going to get peace on earth and goodwill to man. Never. Never. Well, that's my depressing thought for the day. I hope I've cheered you up.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now,
America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here's what's on MichaelSavage.com. Have you bought your copy of Train Tracks yet? Well, that's my forthcoming memoirs, and after the election, boy, you're going to need it. You can order it right now, Train Tracks, on Amazon.com. What else is on the website? Scientology Exposed. Cheating at Harvard, a long tradition, goes back hundreds of years. Now you understand why Obama does it. Is Obama playing for the opposing team? Clinton and Obama, time to wake up and smell the jihad. Obama's Frankenstein in the Middle East, buried by the media. Egypt's Islamic TV cultivates anti-Americanism. They've turned back 500 years. Instructions on wife beating and how to achieve world domination for Islam now appear in Egypt. Thank you, Mr. Obama. Now attack Romney for saying that 47% of Americans won't vote for him because they're on the dole. That's like a no-brainer. All right, play the clip.
47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what. All right, there are 47% who are with him, who are dependent upon government, who believe that they are victims, who believe that government has a responsibility to care for them, who believe that they're entitled to health care, to food, to housing, to you name it.
Clips from Romney's mystery fundraiser being slammed by the vermin in the media. Obama, well, he's in Ohio. Not one word about the Arab Spring bursting into flames.
It is good to be in Ohio. It is great to be in this beautiful setting. It seems like we should have a picnic.
Stop it. Get him off my show. Madam Pelosi, she thinks Obama's a great leader. Wouldn't you if your fortune has gone up tenfold under him?
Make no mistake. President Obama is, of course, he's a great leader. He has great vision for our country. He knows the issues. He has a plan.
How could that be? Suicide bomber kills 9 foreigners over anti-Islam film. Thank you, Mr. Obama. Your foreign policy, how'd that work out? And here in America, the U.S. Justice Department under Eric Holder is actually using a George Soros-funded Stalinist press group called Media Matters that should have been closed down for violating IRS codes a long time ago. They're actually using that slimy group to spin the press on Holder's crimes. All right, let's move on. We're talking about not a medical condition, but a political condition called electoral dysfunction on the Savage Nation. And while there is a little blue pill for the former, there doesn't seem to be an easy fix for the latter. And I believe electoral dysfunction will plague us through this election and beyond. And that's for a number of reasons. One, because we have illegal aliens voting, which is why the Democrats fight like heck to make certain there's no voter ID law. Now, you needed voter ID to get into the communist convention in wherever they held it, in Charlotte. You needed 3 forms of identification to get in the door. But you don't need identification to vote. Go figure that one out. Obviously, there's a clear answer to that. And the reason that the illegitimate are demanding that the other illegitimate don't need ID so the illegitimate can stay in office. But the thing is, electoral dysfunction goes beyond mere partisanship. I've disclosed to you on the show before, when Trickle-Down Tyranny first came out, that a Spanish company is counting the votes. No one paid attention. Huge deal. Monster deal should be in the front of every newspaper. But because Michael Savage is the most hated man in the American media, even though he continues to write best-selling books. He doesn't exist. This is how it worked in the ex-Soviet Union. They didn't necessarily assassinate individuals. First, they started by not talking about him. He didn't exist. He was the unmentionable. Now, this goes for the conservative media as well as the liberal media. You never heard Rush mention Michael's name. Even though I'm the only person in the media banned in Britain, not once did Rush mention it. Certainly, you wouldn't expect it from Wallbanger because he doesn't even have the brains to mention it. But you'd expect the leader of the conservative radio world, a man who calls himself Al Rushbor, to have mentioned it, but he doesn't. Has Al Rushbor mentioned the fact that in trickle-down tyranny, Michael disclosed that a Spanish company is counting the votes? No. No, because El Rushmore is only interested in himself. And, you know, there's another point to this story, beside my getting nasty, which is something I've noticed and heard from others inside the whole system. I was told today by a higher-up that everybody on the conservative side hates everybody else. Nobody likes anybody. Everybody puts everyone down all the time behind the scenes. And I said, yep, the left is united, the right is divided. I'm telling you, that's how it is. For some reason, the communists, socialists, and anarchists line up behind each other. They never, ever say anything negative about each other. You notice that? And the answer is really clear, because we conservatives are more free-spirited. We're not as bound by a party. You know, this is how the Communist Party used to work. Nobody dared step out of line in the old communist days. If they did, they were ejected from the party. This is what the Democrats are today. That's why there's total unity behind our dear leader, because he is, in essence, the equivalent of a communist leader. Nobody dare say one word out of line or they get thrown out of the Communist Party, which today is called the Democrat Party, by the way. There's no difference. It's just on a minor scale. Today we can talk about electoral dysfunction, if you wish. I can explain the Electoral College, but it's quite boring. Do you think we should dump the Electoral College? What is it? No one even knows. You probably didn't go to high school. If you went to high school, you probably don't even learn it anymore, what it is. Why don't we have a popular vote in this country? We have a popular vote for the House and for the Senate. So why is there no popular vote for the president? The fact of the matter is we don't elect the president or vice president directly. Instead, our votes elect electors who make up the Electoral College. Now, how is this? How do you figure out who they are? And these electors, not to be confused with the medical disorder, these electors make up the Electoral College, where there's a lot of dysfunction. The electors cast votes for the candidates on our behalf. Now, how many are there in each state? Well, each state's number of electors, hang on now, I know you're already buzzing off to another channel. Each state's number of electors is determined by adding its number of senators to its number of representatives. I just lost half the audience. Every state has, I know it, I'm a former high school teacher, then I was a college teacher. I have such good timing. I know that half of you wanted to turn the station off. The minute I mentioned how you're calculating the Electoral College, it was like, oh, tell us about the Chinese food you ate. Tell us about Teddy. Tell us about your boat. Tell us about your lips sticking together. Please, anything but this. Each state's number of electors is determined by adding its number of senators to its number of representatives. So I'll finish this quickly. So every state has two senators. That you can follow, right? And the number of representatives varies based on population. So every state is not equal. So California, for example, very populous, has two senators and 53 representatives for a total of 55 electoral votes. That's something even a Democrat who signs a check on the back can follow, right? So what about states with small populations? For example, let's go to another state. New York has 31 electoral votes. I don't know how that figures, but they only have 31 electoral votes. That's 2 senators and 29 representatives. I don't know why. They should have more, I think. But McCain didn't get any credit for the 2.5 million votes he received in New York, because nearly all states are winner-take-all. This means the candidate with the most votes receives all the state's electoral votes. Maine and Nebraska are the only exceptions to the winner-take-all system, and I don't want to go into it because it gets too complicated. But I've given you the rudiments of what the Electoral College is, and it's in our Constitution, by the way. Now, why were the Founding Fathers, who were the really geniuses, why did they perceive that an Electoral College would be important years down the road? Because they realized that mobs of people tend to congregate in coastal cities, and you therefore would have a few coastal cities, New York, Los Angeles, for example, Miami, name another city or two, determining the outcome of the election if it was based on the popular vote. But since we are a republic that consists of a number of states, that beyond the Hudson River there are people who actually have two eyes, two legs, two hands, two lungs, and they have lives and they vote. They all don't live on the Upper East Side and wear Manalo shoes, but they are human beings, believe it or not. The women west of the Hudson River are actual human beings. And they also want their votes to count. And so because there is an electoral college, Women without Manalo shoes west of the Hudson now have representation through the electoral dysfunction of our system. Not bad, really. It's pretty good. I mean, no one could have done what I just did. I'm in a sweat already. So that's it. There's nothing more to be said. I've covered the waterfront for the day. Can we move on? Can we have fun? Can we just have fun? Boys just want to have fun on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We have good stuff for you today. We have sound that I'm not going to play. We have Obama. I'll play Obama in clip 14 just for a break. Go ahead.
Madam Chairwoman, delegates, no, I accept your nomination for president of the United States.
I'm so humble. Why does he sound so arrogant at everything he does? The man doesn't have a humble gene in his entire DNA. It's unbelievable to me. But don't say that to anyone in San Francisco. You're liable to get arrested. The Fugazi city is liable to have you arrested if you even demand that there be a Republican somewhere in the state of California. They think it should be illegal to have a two-party system in this state. We have the most corrupt state in the country, a one-party system that's being run into the third world by Jerry Brown and the illegitimate, ranging from Sacramento to San Francisco. They've just approved a railroad to nowhere. A railroad to nowhere. The state is completely busted out. Busted out. They approved the railroad to nowhere. Nobody knows why. You have to be a genius. It's like the subway from nowhere to nowhere in San Francisco. Billions of dollars in contracts. Ding, ding. What do you mean the subway for? We have buses and quaint little trolley car, whatever they're called. I wish they'd get rid of them, frankly. I know you don't want to hear it. Every time I drive to work, I get stopped at a cable car crossing. And I got to Rice-a-roni myself in the car with the ding, ding and the brake man. I have to sit there and tap my foot and sit and wait for the guy with the brakes. It's horrible. It's a nightmare. But it's for the tourists, I understand. Rice-a-roni, ding, 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 ding. But the fact of the matter is they're very charming. And every once in a while, the brakes fail and they shoot right down to the... That hasn't happened in a while. Quite a nice system. Of course, with the development of the electric car, there's no need for the trolley car. And with the development of the internal combustion engine, there was less of a need for the cable car, rather. But, all right, without that, there'd be no Tony Martin. And where would we be today? Tony Bennett, where would we be today? I left. Had a very interesting day in the city I love more than anything on earth. I don't like going anywhere. I went to the top of Telegraph Hill, and I'm looking for my notes. And I went to see the house, the building, rather, where Humphrey Bogart crawls up the Filbert Street steps. You know, remember that movie Dark Passage where he's wrapped in bandages, a surgeon changed his face, and then he's escaping and he climbs up a long wooden stairwell? Well, that's the Filbert Street steps, which I've walked many a time. And it ends at a certain beautiful Art Deco building up there, and I went to visit it yesterday. Pretty beautiful, amazing. Looks better than it did 70 years ago. You can believe it, really still amazing. Trees grew in. The birds of Telegraph Hill still fly around up there. So here we are. The SEIU was well represented at the convention. That's the Spanish Employment Intimidation Union. We saw our president, who was really not our first black president, but our first bleak president. And today we're talking about electoral dysfunction on the Savage Nation. New York, WOR, Paul. Should we dump the Electoral College?
Yes, that's what I have to bring up. That has to be saved.
Wait, why are you talking through like a mouthpiece of some kind?
Oh, I'm on a cell phone. Sorry, Mike.
I'm sorry. I can't hear you. If I can't hear you, the audience hung up. They went to listen to the guy who sounds like Groucho Marx's grandmother getting a hysterectomy without anesthesia on the other station in New York. So I can't keep you on. Yeah, how did that guy get into radio with a voice like that? You know, unbelievable. I mean, if it wasn't for a Russian wall banger, you know what he'd be doing? He'd be chasing ambulances. you know, that's the beauty of being a conservative, is that everyone criticizes each other. Liberals never criticize each other. It's very true. Why don't we have Marines, retired Marines, outside voting booths with sidearms to counter the Black Panthers that Obama was likely to send around America to intimidate voters? He doesn't have to do that anymore. What does he have to intimidate you for? He gave it to George Soros' front company to count the votes. That's like assuming you're going to win at Aqueduct. That's like going to Las Vegas and think you're going to come home a winner. You know what I'm saying? Forget about it. They made a decision already. It's a fugazi. It's the 1919 World Series. They made a decision who's winning. The sheep will know already what's they're going. They think their vote counts. Yeah, right. Yeah, all right. That's it. That's let's pray that we have a benevolent dictator in power. He's not going to be a benevolent dictator. You see, that's what the liberals keep wanting, is a benevolent dictator. And they think Obama's the benevolent dictator they've all wanted all these years. What they don't know is no dictator is benevolent when he has absolute power. But that's a lesson that you can't teach them. They're going to have to live through it themselves. When they go to the butcher shop and there's one salami hanging there in 10 years from now, when they're eating potato skins for dinner, when they can no longer order a double frappuccino with beans from the 5,000-foot level in Guatemala. When they can't order a macchiato and wait 12 minutes to hear the foam on the top of their coffee, they'll be glad to be drinking bitter root. Dandelion root coffee is what they're going to have had 10 years from now if this keeps up. I'll have a dandelion frappiato, please. I'm having a good time. I mean, it's over. I feel liberated. I should take a vacation now. I really should take a vacation. I'm exhausted now. What's this now? New Jersey town overrun by anti-Semitic graffiti. Manalapan, New Jersey, part of an area that's home to tens of thousands of Jewish families, was under siege this week as swastikas were found painted in red all over mailboxes, street signs, cable boxes, and picket fences. Our cameras saw images of one fence adorned with a giant killer Jews painted in red. People living here for decades say they've never seen anything like this hate attack. All right, so who's going to find them? The FBI is busy making certain that the returning veterans are not a threat to Janet Napolitano. Otherwise, the FBI would be all over this. But I think they're interviewing the woman who said kill Romney. They need the entire bureau to interview her to make certain what to say to make sure that nothing happens to her.
Savage.
Just 10 days before the high holidays, New Jersey community woke up to find swastikas and anti-Jew. Who did it? Who knows who did it? I have no idea. How could you know who did this? So, where are the cameras on a thing like this? One guy once said something. Instead of whining about it and crying, just remember what Meir Kahan said. Every Jew at 22. That's all. That would put a stop to it. That's all. Instead of whining and screaming, well, who's doing it? Say, every Jew at 22 and take your son to a martial arts class. Because one day it may come in handy. You'd be surprised. It's good to have the Bible in one hand and a fist in the other. If the Israelis have taught the Jewish people anything, you know what it is? Have one eye on heaven and the other eye on an Uzi. Talking about the Fugazi president, and we're talking about the electoral dysfunction in the United States of America, where we just learned, you just learned for the first time, you didn't read Trickle Down Tyranny when it came out a few months ago, that our votes are not counted in America. They were outsourced to Spain, to a company owned by one of the largest bundlers and supporters of Obama, the very, very dangerous George Soros. Sacramento Ted, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, listening to you talk about foreign-owned voting machines and voting contracts reminded me of the Dubai port deal. And Schumer agreed with you and was in days of your announcing.
Yeah, right. That's a very interesting point. I single-handedly stopped the Dubai ports deal, and I had a liberal senator on at the time who agreed with me, Charles Schumer. But if he wouldn't agree with me now, Ted, because the Democrats want a rigged voting system. That's why he wouldn't agree with me now. But I'm glad you brought up the Dubai ports deal. It's why I was banned in Britain, because the big Arab money went to friends in the Bush administration. As you remember, the Bush administration attacked me for it. They called me racist. You don't remember that. You don't want to hear it. And the Bush administration, in cahoots with the, let us say, people in the Democrat Party, went to England and had me banned in England for having the audacity to point out to America that we shouldn't permit the good people from Dubai to control our ports because security was too much of a risk. Because it cost somebody a lot of money, I was banned from entering Britain. Big story. And here's a side story to see what kind of Soviet system we're living in today. You want to hear it? Wikipedia, as you well know, is a fraudulent encyclopedia. It's sort of invented, and we all go to it. The entry on the Michael Savage, I have one person who keeps trying to correct the truth, but the Soviets, that is the communists, that is the liberals, that is the Democrats, have at least 99 people who attack my site every time he makes a correction. For example, when he re-enters that Michael Savage single-handedly stopped the Dubai ports deal, they take it out of there. They don't want anyone to know it. In other words, they revise my history the way the Soviets did to individuals that they wanted to destroy in their country. Now you understand why I'm not allowed on any channel, any television station, why Michael Savage is an unknown individual in America, except to his millions of listeners, and why this show is number two on the internet and radio. Number two. Number two, number two, number two, number two, number two, and why I have six bestsellers in a row, because somehow the truth is getting out. But I'm warning you about Wikipedia. If Wikipedia doesn't stop these 99 Democrat, liberal, Soviets from modifying things that are true, then how can you rely upon a website that's so fraudulent? You can't. You can't. But I can't fight every battle every day. You understand that? Doug Lynn does the best he can. I can't say I have the answer. If you had the other kind, the medical problem, you know the answer. But the problem is, see, the problem with the other kind, the medical dysfunction, is that if it lasts more than 36 hours, you can see a doctor and they can do something about it. But we've had electoral dysfunction for more than 36 years in the United States of America. And thus far, no one's done anything, anything about the electoral dysfunction. So where's the doctor who's going to come in on a white horse and save America from this painful, painful electoral dysfunction that we are suffering from? I don't know.
All I want from my end is $8,000.
What I'm saying to you is you should give it to somebody that don't know any better, because that's a fugazi. All right?
That's a fugazi? How do you know it's a fugazi? You looked at it for 2 seconds.
It's a fake.
Should go to the movies more often, then they would know what a fugazi is. They would know that last night we saw the Flymans were called fugazis in the movie Donnie Brasco. Now, maybe I watch too many movies, especially movies of that nature. But, you know, fugazi was a made-up word. There's no such word. Amongst that level of society, if there's a fake diamond, it was called a fugazi. How many years do I have to tell you you're watching a fugazi in action in the Democrat Party? It's unbelievable to me. So today we're going to talk about the fugazi in chief in the White House and the ComCon that occurred, the Communist Convention. It's astounding that the people don't even know what they're watching because of the naivete of the American voter. You're watching and you're listening to a man who is a naked dictator. The man is an oligarch in his own mind, and he believes he should be a supreme ruler without anyone interfering with his belief system. And the reason is because he's so good. What's astounding to me is that everything we ever learned when we were young and being taught by liberals about what would happen when a totalitarian regime arrived is happening under Obama, and the very liberals who warned us about it are cheering him. Do you notice that, how crazy that is? The best article of the whole week was by Michael Goodwin in the New York Post, where he writes, "Dems, dear leader, plotting our grim future." I generally don't read any other person's stuff. I got to read you this paragraph or two. He says, "The system is rigged. America is unjust. Opportunity is dead. You didn't build that. Damn it, where's mine? Oh, and Republicans are the people who rigged the system. They're trying to take away your rights to vote, to health care, to education, to housing. They hate women, gays, and immigrants. They don't pay their fair share and they're un-American. Barack Obama lights candles, Mitt Romney spreads darkness, and Osama bin Laden is dead. There, I saved you the time of watching the Democratic Convention. For three grating days, demands for more government spending were coupled with sweeping character assassinations of Romney. The GOP is not wrong, it is immoral. You don't agree? You're not patriotic. It turns out that the party that left God out of its platform has a religious zeal for its leader. We believe in Barack Obama," Senator John Kerry thundered to uproarious applause. "Folks, we've entered the elite territory. The wild, outlandish claims that America is corrupt, Republicans are supervillains, and Obama is a superhero were made by every speaker over three raucous nights. a president, the first lady, a former president, a sitting vice president, top members of Congress, labor leaders, celebrities, fathers, mothers, sons and daughters, blacks, whites, Latinos, all stayed on the scorched earth message softened only by homilies to Obama. Something shocking is happening to the Democratic Party. Its committed adherents are whipping themselves into a frenzy of grievance that justifies seeing their fellow Americans as both evil and a free cash machine. Obama did not single-handedly create this mad orgy, but he lit the match and shows the way. On this, he is a true leader, a transformative one. His invocation of FDR is not unwarranted, even as his channeling of Lincoln's pain smacked of cheesy self-reverence. When he says voters will face the clearest choice of any time in a generation, he understates the fact. The two paths are a twain that shall never meet. His rhetorical skills, uncompromising ambition, and 1,000-watt smile were on full display, unfortunately, in service to a vision that would surely bankrupt America. Instead of a guarantee of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, our culture would be reshaped by a growing collectivist power vested in the state that would command ever more resources and control. The claim of leveling the playing field is in reality a plan to control the outcome. As famously promised, the financial crisis has not been wasted. The recession lingers for many families. Unemployment remains stuck at a destructive level. The deficit soars. We borrow nearly $3 billion a day, $20 billion a week, $1 trillion a year. These are serious problems to most mortals, but for him, they are rich opportunities to expand the reach of Washington. The soaring debt is not soaring enough, so more treasure must be thrown into the bonfire of his vanities. It is a fire consuming the future under the guise of fairness. This is not mere class warfare. That's just a tactic. The goal, as it always has been for his kind throughout history, is to accumulate power that the elite can wield without accountability or checks and balances. Give the man his due. We have not seen his like in our times. His charisma and political skills are unmatched. If only they were admirably used. Obama promised to unite the country, and his lie exposed is now determined to win re-election by any means necessary. He may succeed. Beware, America, the wraps have come off. Obama is unbound, and the delegates in the convention hall went home in full revolutionary spirit. They don't want to unite America. They want to conquer it. Barack Obama did build that. That's from Michael Goodwin's incredible article in the New York Post. Today we can talk about the vision that these Democrats have for a totalitarian state, a one-party system. We can talk about the Fugazi in the White House from the movie Donnie Brasco. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Should we eliminate the Electoral College? Do you think the Electoral College is outdated, or should the U.S. keep it? Or we can talk about it, if you'd like. It's something that you may have learned in high school, but it's never been the popular vote. And the reason the Founding Fathers didn't make it a popular vote is because they envisioned a time when the country would be overrun by illegal aliens who simply wanted benefits, by government workers who simply wanted benefits, who would pack into the coastal cities. And if it was done by popular vote, only a few coastal cities in a few coastal states would determine the outcome. And the vast middle ground of America would have no say whatsoever in who got elected. That's why the Electoral College was created. But you didn't learn that on the college campus when they were teaching you how to put a condom on a cucumber and how to sleep with your sorority sister. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Phone number is 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We're open for business. Joe, New York, WOR, go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Joe?
Dr. Savage, I was told as a rookie cop in the NYPD that the word Fugazi was a combination of the F word and hazy. I asked
well, according to the, according to the IMDb website, they claim it was an invented word, but you would know better than the mere screenwriter.
Well, invented, yes. It's a combination of two words, but the NYPD kind of acts as a time capsule for New York phrases that sometimes...
Well, let me ask you something. Do they say Fugazi or Fugazi? Because, it's like, Fugazi. You say tomato, I say tomato. Does it depend upon which part of New York you're from?
I've always heard of it as Fugazi.
Would you say Obama's a Fugazi or a Fugazi?
He would be a multi-Fugazi.
I knew that people would like this one. Oh, God. Yep, fake diamonds. Fake diamonds. Every girl likes a fake diamond. One of the bloggers was looking at the Democratic convention, and he wrote something. And I'm not saying I said that. Don't get me wrong. Well, I can't say it because they 70,000 people signed this a petition to have him removed from writing blogs because he insulted all of the women in the audience by referring to them in the name of a very famous play that was on Broadway for many years. See, when you're young, you say, well, I don't want that electoral college. It should be a popular vote the way it is in Venezuela. That's what we want. We want voting like you have it in China. No, we want popular vote. That's what we want. I got an email, came in the mail, very urgent, possible 2012 U.S. presidential election fraud from a listener who wouldn't tell me who he is, but he says, this is going around the internet. U.S. presidential election fraud in motion. Obama sends voting services to George Soros Company in Spain. August 25th, 2012. Spanish company will count American votes overseas in November. Now, I reported this in Trickle Down Tyranny. I know I have it. I had it in the book. Joseph Stalin, the dictator of Russia, said those who cast the votes decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything. That's nice. That's not alarming to you? Okay. Fugazis, we're in business on the Savage Nation. Let me ask you something. How do you feel about the fact that a Spanish company will count American votes overseas in November? How do you feel about the fact there will be no paper trail to even check? How do you feel about the fact that the Obama government has outsourced the counting of votes for the 2012 election to a Spanish company that is in partners with George Soros? How do you feel that knowing that this company, the software, has now been sold to a company named SCYTL, owned by George Soros, headquartered in Spain? How come we're having a situation where there's no traceable record of how many and what votes were scored? How come we're finding out that this company, SCYTL, is shadow-owned by Peter Vallis, a former CEO of GlobalNet, who is a maximum-level contributor to the Obama campaign? And Vallis is also contacted with Media Matters, a communication consortium owned by George Soros. How come this is allowed to stand? How come the American people are like bunny rabbits who don't even ask if the integrity of their vote is guaranteed, since their votes will be transmitted in digital form with no paperwork backup to check for discrepancies? How come the American people are not arguing that this should not go on? How is it that this doesn't invite dishonest practices such as beginning the voting day with counts that were not reset to zero? Or how about the practice of switching within the software votes from one candidate to another? Will Harry Reid's re-election in Nevada, which was seen to be fraudulent, serve as a template for Obama in 2012? Why did this country outsource a job that goes to the very core of our constitutional process to an outside organization? Why did the Democrats fight voter ID laws? Well, that would mark the beginning of the end of voter fraud. Ladies and gentlemen, with the beginning of the motor voter law under Janet Sterno and the electronic voting machine, and now turning it over to a Spanish company owned by George Soros, the illegitimate left has literally continued to steal elections right beneath our noses. So what do we do about it? I don't know. How come it hasn't been mentioned by any of the Republicans? How is this possible? Who in Washington authorized a global software company owned by a Spanish socialist to be put in charge of counting American votes? Why is a company that is based in Spain, which counts votes in Athens, Greece, now teaming up with the Commonwealth of Virginia to count the overseas ballots of our military members? Who in the Department of Defense and the Congress approved this? Our republic is literally being pulled out from under our feet. Why? I don't know why. We know we have a corrupt machine in Obama, But where are the Republicans on this? As Thomas Jefferson often warned, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. Do you have enough vigilance? Joseph Stalin warned us, those who cast the votes decide nothing. Those who count the votes decide everything. Now George Soros has been silent during this Democrat-Communist fest, was not seen anywhere even though he's the puppet master. How is that possible? How is any of this possible? Is the election predetermined? Is that why the Republicans are so defeated? Do they look defeated? Do they sound defeated? Have they act defeated? Why have the Republicans permitted one radical leftist moderator after another, one Ambien-infused lunatic after another, to become the so-called moderators of the debate between Obama and Romney? One Ambien or other drug-induced moderator from the left after another, not one conservative. How did this happen to our country? What are we going to do about it? Well, nothing. Nothing. There's nothing you could do about it. I think we are no longer a republic. I think we're a banana republic. But if you care to talk about it, you can. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. Fake diamonds were called fugazis in the movie Donnie Brasco. I think the election is a fugazi. What do you think? Larry in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, Michael. I want to make a couple of observations about the convention. First of all, Michelle Obama was referring to her husband continuously as Barack, and I think that that's unprecedented. Even Hillary never referred to Bill before to Clinton as Bill before a national audience, nor any other first lady.
Well, all right, so she was trying to humanize him because he tends to be somewhat robotic and distant.